they're starting to warm up. Is it time to go to Paradise Gardens?
Not so fast, Stinky. Paradise Gardens is not open for business yet. Just a little bit longer to wait.
But I can't wait much longer. I'm ready to see all those locally grown products they have to offer.
Paradise Gardens on the corner of Route 84 and Highway 136 in Fulton, now associated with Five Star Landscaping.
Well, that's right. And Margo joining us on the Great Green Garden Show. And Kevin wanted to let folks know he's not open for business just yet. So when we hit that 60 degrees yesterday, people were ready to go buy some plants.
I know. And, you know, I did talk to him this last week, and he's expecting his first shipments in, I think, the beginning of next week. And so what he does to be ready is he gets all the containers filled with soil. So he's got all the hanging baskets filled. He's got the pots filled. And then as the shipments come in, then he plants and plugs those plants just as fast as his little fingers can work. And then the shipments are spread out so that the stuff comes in fresh every week, and he can stay ahead of it. So he's ready. The plants start coming in next week. However, that means they're the cuttings and the little tiny plant plugs. So don't go in and expect to see that greenhouse beautiful and full of green plants like we see at Mother's Day. So, you know that it takes a few months to get those plants that big and as beautiful as they are. So he's going to be going at it fast and furious, you know, the next month. So, yeah, not a whole lot green over there. So, hey, Paul, I did have a few questions for you this morning.
Okay.
Before we get started with the show. And I was wondering why pine trees just buy ice cream.
Why do pine trees just buy ice cream?
Right.
Yeah,
Because they already have the cones. Oh, you were ready for that one.
Yeah.
Okay, and then one more real quick.
Okay.
What do you get when you cross a barn with a pine tree?
Cross a barn with a pine tree. I give up.
Well, you get a needle in the haystack. Okay. All right. So for you serious gardeners, that'll be it for the jokes this morning. But I like really easy ones to remember because that's how simple my brain works right now. So if you do have a lawn and garden question this morning, the number 563-242-1252, and it can, of course, be about house plants, and just general things happening outdoors or thinking about. Now, I do want to tell you that if you haven't already ordered seed through mail order and you're planning on it, you really need to get that rolling because it does take sometimes a few weeks to get those seeds. So don't wait till last minute. Get those orders in so you can have those seeds ready you know, for when the growing time comes. And always remember, or make it a habit, to read the back of the seed packet. Like if you buy one from a store off of a rack, it will tell you basically when to plant, either indoors, start them indoors, or plant in the ground outside. So read those instructions and do pay attention to them because, you know, it's tried and true, and we don't want to start things too early and get plants way too tall and out of range for planting them out later. And, of course, remember our frost date, last frost date is the middle of May, so around May 10th. We've got a ways to go yet. Okay, we did talk about a week or two ago about leaves and roots and those parts of the plants. Actually, roots, I guess, is what we talked about. And today I want to talk about the support system of plants. And there are two basically primary vascular tissues that really act as transport systems, but also in some way hold up the plant so they're upright. We have a strong stem, we have a strong branch, we maybe have a strong trunk. And the two the two, what I refer to them is the piping system. So the internal pipes, like you'd have pipes in your house moving water and waste in and out of your house. So that's going to be what we're going to be talking about with plants today. And there are two names, and you don't need to remember them, but just understand that they are the xylem, phloem, and phloem is, starts with a P-H, not an F. And those are the two main structures of the plant that actually the xylem is going to move water and dissolved minerals upward from the roots to the leaves. And I'm going to talk about how that happens in just a minute. The other piping, so to speak, is the phloem, and that's going to move sugar and nutrients and protein, which you would know as sap, that is produced by the leaves, and that's going to move those nutrients and proteins or sap, so to speak, to all parts of the plant. So it's going to move in both directions. It's going to move up and down and across over into the leaves and into the branches and stems. So again, xylem is going to move water and minerals from the soil up to the leaves, and then the phloem is going to move whatever is produced in the leaves through photosynthesis around the plant, up and down, wherever it's called for. And that's going to supply energy to all of the cells and the tissue in the plant. Now, when we talk about annuals, which are one-season plant, and perennials, which are plants that come back, they don't need the same support system as far as structure is concerned as, say, for instance, a tree would. An annual's 1 year, perennials will come back, but in our part of the world, because of the winters we have, that plant material dies back down. So the annuals, when we have a hard frost, of course, the plants are going to die. The cells are going to collapse. They die down. And the annual is done for the season. Perennials kind of retreat back into the soil. The root will survive. The crown of the plant will survive. But the top, the branches and stem of the plant are basically going to fall apart, and that's going to be gone. Now, it's a little bit different in trees. So let's talk about maybe a 100-year-old, let's just say oak tree. So we have the oak tree, and so the xylem, which again is the plumbing system that moves water up through the roots up to the top of the tree, actually replaces itself every year. And the old xylem kind of gets shoved to the center so that next year the new xylem is grown on the outer side right underneath the bark. And this, of course, is when we cut a tree down and we count the growth rings on it. That would pretty much be the xylem that for 1 year was very effective in moving moisture and water and minerals up the tree. But then it is replaced the next year by a new ring. And again, that's what, where we get the growth rings of a tree. And you can actually count how old a tree is by counting those rings. You can actually see also with those rings, and historians do this, and people that work with archaeology can see that if there is a ring that is really wide compared to the other ones, that might tell us that we had more rain and or it was a really good growing season that year for that particular plant. On the flip side of that coin, if the rings are really tight and really small together, that could indicate lower moisture levels and or a drought period. So we can tell by looking at trees from way back when, thousands of years ago, kind of what the weather was like just by those rings and counting them. Okay, and then also the phloem, which is the part of the plumbing that moves the nutrients around the tree, that also is replaced every year, and it's right underneath the bark of the tree. And so this is why we tell people not to strip the bark off of the trees. And, even tying a chain around, maybe tying a dog on a chain just for a day or two, and it kind of wears through that bark, or anything that would strip that bark off, it's going to expose the xylem and the phloem, and it's going to make it difficult if that plumbing is damaged or broken so that it's not going to work for that tree going up and down. Okay, one thing, people will plan for trees in their yard sometimes by the size and the height. So if you have just a small area in your yard and you want to put in some kind of little tree, it would be maybe a redbud, it could be a flowering crabapple tree, the smaller trees, and of course we will be seeing the early star magnolias blooming here maybe within the next month, and those are smaller trees. And because of their structure, part of it, of course, is the DNA of the plant, but the other part is getting moisture from the roots all the way to the top of the tree. So if you look at a redbud and say it's going to grow maybe 12 to 15 feet tall, that water has to move 15 or 16 feet up through the roots, up that trunk, and to support those leaves and flowers at the top of the tree. Now, if you have a 100-year-old oak tree, and let's say, for instance, maybe it's like 80 feet tall, that moisture has to go all the way up the trunk to the top of the tree to support those leaves. So how do you get water from the ground and push it up the trunk? Plants, of course, don't have a heart and a circulatory system like people and animals do. So there's no pump to pump it up. There's nothing else that is going to pump or push that up. So what happens is the roots are going to absorb the moisture, and it's the moisture is going to flow into the root because of the structure of the cells, and it fills up with water. And then it's going to push that up the trunk because more moisture is coming in. At the same time, the buds, like in the spring when the tree first starts growing, and then later in the season when the leaves are covering the canopy of the tree, those leaves and those buds are calling for moisture. So there's kind of a suction or a vacuum that is helping to pull that moisture up, and then the roots are pushing. So there's a pushing-pulling effect that goes on. And if you think about it, pushing water up 80 to 100 feet in the air is pretty phenomenal. And this, to some degree, is going to limit why certain species of trees only get so big. Their genetic says how tall they are going to get at full maturity, but also the fact that that tree has to push and pull water to that top of the tree. So it would be, say you needed gallons of water, okay, for the top of a branch somewhere. So 2 gallons of water would be like 2 milk jugs, okay? So that would be 16 pounds, and you're going to carry those 2 jugs 100 feet in the air, which would be about 10 stories. So you're going to walk those two. That's a lot of energy to get those up there. Now, you might, jog and be in a lot better shape than me, but I can tell you I'd be pretty tired carrying 2 jugs of water, up 10 stories of steps. So anyway, that will sometimes limit a tree in how big it gets. Now, also, trees, say, for instance, that grow here but also grow in more southern states where they don't have as hard of winter and they don't start over from scratch like we do here, trees in the south are maybe going to be a little bit taller. So say that apple tree in St. Louis might get a little bit taller because conditions are better, whereas here there's a shorter growing season. The trees have to break that winter dormancy and get that system running again. So kind of keep that in mind. It's pretty interesting how a tree will push and that vacuum from up above will pull water up that whole height of that tree. Okay, believe it or not, that's all the time I've got today. So thank you for joining the Great Green Garden Show, and have a wonderful, safe weekend.